CBS News is next from KOIN in Portland. It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. The Senate worked until late Wednesday night, debating and voting on portions of the defense budget. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The senator's evening work resulted in one amendment being approved. That was Senator William Proxmire's proposal to eliminate another 17,000 civilian jobs in the Defense Department. Earlier in the day, Democrat Stuart Symington lost an attempt to trim $1.2 billion from the weapons procurement program. Symington defended his effort.
I want to see us have all the defense that's necessary to keep this country as secure as it can be in the nuclear space age. But I also feel that much that we have been spending recently and the way that it was manipulated to be spent is wrong to start with, very expensive, and I think that money could better be spent at home.
Senator Stuart Symington, voting on other amendments, resumes in the morning. It will include a vote on an effort to eliminate the expensive B-1 bomber program. Addressing the graduating class at West Point Wednesday, President Ford said the U.S. cannot afford to cut back on its defense needs. The president told the 1975 class of the U.S. Military Academy that he will fight any attempts to trim his defense budget. More news in a moment.
Some people think we play ping pong all day. They're wrong. The USO isn't all fun and games. Today, the USO has millions of problems like this one in Germany.
My family's going crazy living in a tiny apartment. Where can we live?
Today's USO has millions of problems like this one in Asia.
I'm hooked on drugs. Where can I get help?
Or this problem in Athens.
Our marriage is breaking up. Can you help us?
Today's USO has little time for ping pong. We've got serious work to do. We've got lots of new problems here and overseas. The problems are big. How big? Well, if someone asks you, who needs the USO? Tell them,
we do! We do!
Over 5 million American military personnel and their families need today's USO. And because we get no government funds, we need all your support. Please give to USO through the United Way or local USO campaign.
President Ford Wednesday was pleased to learn that his veto of an expensive measure to create more employment was upheld in Congress. Neil Strasser reports.
The president learned of the House action as he went into a cabinet meeting to report on his European trip. He called the upholding of his jobs bill veto a very significant victory. Otherwise, he said, it would have opened the floodgates to excessive federal spending. The next big one, Mr. Ford told the cabinet, is the House vote scheduled for next Monday on his veto of the strip mining control bill. It is vitally important, he said, to sustain it. The administration maintains the bill would cost the nation jobs and coal production. Of his European trip, the president said there were no real disappointments and many favorable benefits. If I had to do it again, he said, I couldn't ask for any more success. We made good friends, said the president. And he also spoke of dining well, reporting he gained 1 pound on the trip. Neil Strasser, CBS News, the White House.
House Democratic leader Thomas O'Neill called the failure to override the veto a sad day for America. The vote to override on the jobs bill was 277 to 145, five short of the needed number. The bill involved was a $5.3 billion measure. Among other programs, it would have created 900,000 public service jobs. Large crowds are gathering in three cities along the Suez Canal in Egypt. Flags and olive branches are everywhere. Egypt is reopening the canal about an hour from now. It's been closed since the 1967 Arab-Israeli War. On the eve of the reopening, Israel announced it has completed a pullback of troops and weapons it had stationed near the canal. The Israelis issued a statement saying they wish Egypt success in its operation with heartfelt sincerity. Thursday morning has arrived in Britain, a big day for that nation. The people are going to the polls to decide if Britain will stay in the European Common Market. Some British politicians blame the country's severe financial problems on its alliance with the European Economic Community. Now this.
Hi, we're all Donnie Bracken here with the Sultan of the Spatula, no less, Mike Roy.
Yeah.
We got a soup idea for you tomorrow on Mike's Cook Thing here on CBS. What's in your pot, Pops?
I got some beautiful watercress soup. It's the grass that grows in the cool streams.
Oh, grass is for the fish to eat and the cows to munch on.
Yeah, rabbits love it, too. But people eat a lot of grass if you take into consideration lettuce and everything else.
Uh-huh.
But watercress is a special kind of grass.
Well, tune in tomorrow on Mike's Cook Thing. We'll see.
We've all been asked to save energy. It's easy to know how much gasoline the car uses, but what about energy use at home? I'm Virginia Nauer, President Ford's consumer advisor. My office has published a fact sheet that tells you how to read utility meters. Check your gas and electric meters monthly, and you'll know if you're saving energy and if your bills are accurate. For free information, write Utility Bills, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009.
A French inventor is working on something that sounds like a motorist dream, an automobile engine that runs on water. In Paris, Jean Chabrin called newsmen together for a demonstration of his car engine, which he says runs now on a mixture of half water and half alcohol. He told him he also has in his workshop an engine that runs on 90% water and hopes to devise one soon that runs on nothing but water. Chabrin would not discuss details of how it works, saying he wants to protect possible patent rights. Doug Poling, CBS News.
Portland police are investigating the shooting death early this evening of a 6-year-old Southeast Portland girl. Dead is Kimberly Van Wart. Authorities say she was struck by a bullet and was dead on arrival at a Portland hospital. No further details are yet available. A sweeping proposal to rewrite much of the Washington State Criminal Code is on its way to Governor Dan Evans after being approved by the Senate. Objections to the bill centered on the fact that it repealed laws against sodomy and adultery. Seattle Senator John Cunningham, who tried unsuccessfully to retain criminal penalties for the two acts, said, "I agree that we cannot legislate morality, but we should not lower goals to which we encourage people to aspire." A Cleveland High School English teacher, Carrie Miller, has been elected president of the Portland Federation of Teachers. Elected vice presidents during a May 28th membership meeting were Colleen Smith, Jerry Hopkins, and Deanna Woods. The Oregon AFL-CIO's $2,400 college scholarship has been won by Virginia Regier of Forest Grove, Jeanette Jameson and David Trask, both of Medford, and Elizabeth Cunningham of Eugene received $500 awards from the union. The four students were the top four scorers in a written examination on the history of organized labor and the place that it holds in the American industrial system. The weather forecast for the Portland-Vancouver area: cloudy through tomorrow morning with a chance of drizzle. Considerable sunshine tomorrow afternoon. Cloudy Friday with increasing chance of rain. Lows in the mid-50s, highs in the upper 70s tomorrow and the low 70s on Friday. Northwest winds at 5 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of measurable rain 10% through tomorrow. Right now in downtown Portland, the temperature stands at 62 degrees. That's KOIN News to 1108. I'm Bill Garrity.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Outside the Straits of Gibraltar, to the northwest of Cadiz, lie some of Spain's most beautiful beaches, protected by island sandbars. And to the south of Cadiz, the towering mountains begin to rise, on one of which, Monte Alegre, is the hacienda which holds the heart of this story. Approaching it by car at this moment are Chad Reynolds and Elizabeth Monroe.
But you haven't told me about the Señora Escobar.
La Doña, to give her a full title? Oh, no. She's not to be mentioned.
Why not?
Because she is dead. You remember that little loggia I showed you cut into the mountain?
The wedding present.
Uh-huh. It turned out to be her tombstone also.
Our mystery drama, The Devil's Leap, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Mercedes McCambridge. It is sponsored in part by Sinoff, the sinus medicines, and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablet?
No, the sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure and post-nasal drip.
You mean Sinoff?
Exactly.
Compare sign-off tablets with anything you've ever taken for sinus. No sinus tablet you can buy relieves more symptoms. Sign-off gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a powerful sinus drainer. Sign-off works fast to help sinus pain while you drain.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sign-off, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. Take when needed, only as directed.
It's athletes versus MS. Meet golf champion Lee Trevino.
One day you're a happy guy like me, Lee Trevino, walking around swinging your clubs, and out of the blue, you get struck down by multiple sclerosis, the great crippler of young adults. Right now, there's no cure for MS, but there's hope through research. 500,000 victims of MS and related disorders may be invalids, one way or the other, all their lives.
Join Lee Trevino. Support your local chapter of the National Multiple Sclerosis Society.
In God We Trust, America Speaks.
In the words of Eleanor Roosevelt, all human beings have failings. All human beings have needs and temptations and stresses. Men and women who live together through long years get to know one another's failings, but they also come to know what is worthy of respect and admiration in those they live with and in themselves. If at the end one can say, this man used to limit the powers that God granted him, he was worthy of love and respect and of the sacrifices of many people, made in order that he might achieve what he deemed to be his task, then that life has been lived well, and there are no regrets.
Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
Men love beauty in a woman. America has worshipped a long line of beauty queens, sex symbols, love goddesses. And today, as of this moment, one of the, perhaps the best loved, is Elizabeth Monroe. Sitting with her agent Mark Burns, a longtime friend, at a table at Madrid's brightest, newest, and most expensive nightclub, La Ronda.
What's the matter, Liz?
What?
You're not eating.
Oh, no, no, I, Well,
oh, stop worrying about me. I'm washed out.
Hey, you shouldn't have let me book you into this place.
Oh, don't be silly. I was here for retakes on the picture, and I had this... Well, I wanted to sing again, Mark. I mean, in front of people.
Listen, you could go home, take the Hollywood Bowl, and fill it and get your heart's desire. A little wine?
All right. No, I didn't mean that. I meant... Oh.
Oh, hey, you spilled it. I'm sorry.
No. I'm the one that's sorry.
Well, why did you start so and turn away like that?
I just didn't want that boy crossing the dance floor to see me.
You mean Joe College, or whatever he is?
I mean Don Pedro Escobar de Villarmo.
Oh, okay. So outside of his name, what's his particular problem?
It's just that he hates me.
He's male and he hates you?
Enough to kill me. And with reason. When I think of what I once had to do to that boy, I... Mark, I can't stay here. Come on. I'll have to go back to my dressing room.
Okay, Liz, I'll bring the dinner back here. Why the sudden flight?
I told you, Mark. That boy.
Are you really afraid of him? Maybe I better...
No, not physically. It isn't like that. If he's going to be in the audience tonight, I don't want to sing.
It's not in the contract, Liz. Two shows a night, dinner and supper at a queen's stipend. Not enough for you, but it's what you insisted on signing. You should be taking a rest between pictures. Who needs this?
I told you. I had an unstoppable yen to go back to my beginnings, to be with people. Something that lives and breathes and reacts so that you can feel it. It began a long time before you found me. I couldn't get anywhere at home, but here in Europe they liked me as a singer. And it was here, in Spain, in Cadiz, that I had my first really big success. What was I then? Well, not all that young, really. I was 27, I guess. Have you ever been in Cadiz, Mark, in the height of summer? The water is a dancing fire, sparkling a thousand colors under that burnished sun. The skies are high and blue and cloudless, and the faces of the people shine with love and laughter. One night at dusk, one of my most insistent suitors, a party boy from the American jet set with too much money and too little else, was driving me to a weekend party at the Hacienda Monte Alegre, which is the home of Don Emilio Escobar de Villarmo. Oh, Chad, for heaven's sake, take it easy on the curves.
Have no fear, lady. I wouldn't risk a hair on that blonde and lovely head.
Well, I'm just a hard-working nightclub singer who's looking for a restful weekend.
I don't promise you rest at Monte Alegre. It's apt to be more fiesta. I hope.
Well, it'll be a change of scene anyway. Are we getting near it?
Yep, very soon now, around this next bend. Hey, look up there at the mountain as we go across the bridge over the gorge.
Huh?
You see that little loggio up there, like an eagle's nest?
Yes. Oh, it looks like it's cut right out of the mountain.
It was, by Don Emilio. A wedding present for his wife. Oh, there's the most magnificent view from there. Cadiz to the north, Gibraltar to the south, and the whole Atlantic beyond the sandbars, stretching into infinity.
Ah, what a lovely wedding present.
Yeah, only backfired. Turned out to be a pretty deadly one.
Well, what do you mean?
Oh, let's drop it, Liz.
What do I call my host?
Well, if you want to be very formal, it's Senor Escobar. More intimately, informally, Don Emilio.
Well, which do you suggest?
It's up to you. You're going to find him unbending, remote, and very much in the tradition of the Spanish grande.
And the rest of his household?
One son. His only son, Don Pedro. His nickname is Perico. He just came back from a year as an exchange student at Princeton. That's how I met the family, through my kid brother knowing Perico. He's a strange guy. He's shy and intelligent, but he... Well, just let's leave it. He's strange.
How old is he?
About 17, I guess. He's kind of young in a lot of ways for his age.
17? I'm surprised. He's a very young son for Don Emilio, because he's not that young.
Oh, he seems older than he is. He's had quite a bit of sadness in his life. But come on, Liz, I don't want to depress you.
You haven't told me about Senora Escobar.
Ah, La Doña. Well, she's not to be mentioned.
Oh, why not?
Because she's dead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is it recently?
No, 5 years or so ago. Look, you remember that little loggia I told you about?
The wedding present?
Oh, yeah. It turned out to be her tombstone also.
What?
The road down to it is closed up. No one goes there anymore. The natives think it's haunted. They call it El Salto de Diablo.
That means the devil's leap.
That's right. One night 5 or 6 years ago, part of the balustrade gave way, and Don Emilio's wife fell 1,000 feet down the mountain from there to her death.
Well, you're certainly making this weekend sound less and less attractive.
Well, to compensate, I guess, Don Emilio has surrounded himself ever since his wife's death with color and gaiety and young people. That's why he asked me to bring you. You'll see.
Oh, look, look, look. Oh, how gorgeous that is. I don't know how to describe it.
The famous carnations of Monte Alegre.
Oh.
Don Emilio's hobby. I suppose there isn't a color or variety he doesn't grow. They were her favorite flower. They say that when she was found, she had a blood-red one, clasped in one hand.
And that was how I first came to the Hacienda Monte Alegre, the happy mountain. And my host, Don Emilio, I found to be gracious and formal, less cold than Chad had led me to believe. And While he stood aloof from the merriment, it was not he who brought the chill with the coming of dusk, as if the ghosts of long-gone days still lurked in the shadowed halls. No, the most tragic ghost of all was the pale, intense young man with the great liquid brown eyes who hovered on the edge of the gaiety as though haunted and unbearably sad. Hello, Don Pedro.
Senorita.
We haven't had much of a chance to talk since we met.
I am not a very good talker. I saw you talking to my father.
Yes, naturally. He's my host.
Yes, but...
But what, Don Pedro?
Please, it is a formal. You will call me Perico, perhaps. Please, Senorita Monroe.
All right. It's a very nice name. And I am Elizabeth.
Elisabetta.
My friends call me Liz.
I want to be your friend. Would you want to promenade in the garden before the light goes?
Oh, I'd love it. Thank you. So much smoke in here and noise, and those are two things I want to get away from.
Come with me, Senor. Liz. I must talk with you.
Even in this fading light, they are still so beautiful.
Los claveles.
I beg your pardon?
Carnations. They were my mother's favorite flower. Would you like to see where she died, Senorita Liz?
Why,
I want to show you. Because I think you should leave here tonight, now. If I asked you to, would you?
Why, Perico, I can't. I'm a guest.
You will come with me, so you will understand why you must live here.
I went with him, almost mesmerized, I don't know why. I should have thought of danger with this strange, intense, tightly wound boy. It's like the mainspring of a watch ready to snap, like an explosion waiting to occur. But there was something so appealing about him. So I followed him. Beyond the carnations to a gap between the rocks now boarded up by a heavy oaken door. But he veered to the left of it. And then after a moment, he moved aside a heavy rock that swung on a pivot. And we went through and down some steps in front of us until we emerged onto a flat stage that hung almost suspended in space, with a summer house built against the mountain and then a balustrade guarding the drop below. And with a start in the twilight, I realized that I was on the Devil's Leap, the spot Chad had shown me from the road below. Why did you bring me here, Perico?
Because I had to warn you. There is death here, Liz. My father desires you. I could see it in his eyes.
Don Emilio? Oh, really?
I do not joke. I know my father. He kills everything he loves. And I do not want you to die as my mother died. Come here to the balustrade, and I will show you.
In the half-glow of twilight, there is something strange and terrifying about this tortured young man. What wild fancy has opened up his shyness and made him pick on Liz to bring to this deadly spot? I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
Way back in 1876, it was brewed and aged to deliver a taste, a smoothness, and a drinkability found in no other beer at any price. I'm talking about Budweiser. And it's still brewed that way today, with pride, without compromise, to be the king of beers. The largest selling beer in the history of the world, for one simple reason, that Beechwood-aged Budweiser taste. And that speaks for itself. Hear it talking?
When you say Bud, you say you care enough to only want the king of beers. There is no other one. There's only something left.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
I enjoyed flying. I just got an immense pleasure out of flying. Can't describe it. It's just something that, yeah.
I don't know. I guess basically my whole being is based on adventure, on the challenge of flying an aircraft, knowing that you have the responsibility for a multi-million dollar aircraft. And that responsibility that it gives you makes your life significant, makes my life anyway.
To me, flying is something that gives me a lot more freedom in understanding myself. I get to find my own fears and faults when I'm up alone. There's no one else to help me. No one else to grab the controls and pull me out of the spin. It's up to me.
The flight training they're giving me, what it's worth, I couldn't even start to make in a lifetime.
It takes a special type of person.
Learn to fly in the Navy. If you're going to be something, why not be something special?
Instinctively, Liz clings to the solid safety of the loggia, backed by the mountain. Invitingly outlined by the last reflected glare of the sun, which has just set, Perico stands by the low balustrade, a few scant inches from a plunge of over 1,000 feet.
You are in danger here.
From your father? Oh, I can't believe that.
Can you believe that 5 years ago, by the time I was 12, my mother lay down there, 1,100, 1,200 feet down, crushed and broken on the rocks.
Yes, I've heard that she had an accident, that the balustrade gave way.
It was no accident. My father threw her over because he had tired of her. The balustrade was broken later to make it seem like an accident.
Perico! Oh, how can you think such things about your father? You, of all people, should be able to see how your mother's death very nearly destroyed him.
Not her death. His guilt.
Well, how can I argue with you? But I am sorry for you.
Sorry for me? Why?
To live with such hate locked up inside you. Oh, look, Perico. Look down at those magnificent beaches. They're the best in all of Spain. And there are fiestas, festivals, and bullfights. And even this week, a carnival.
Oh, yes, the carnival.
Yes, and this year bigger than ever. With real sideshows and a carousel and lots of games. And a Ferris wheel.
Yes, a Ferris wheel. I've never been up in one. Could we go together? Caramba, how I would like that. Will you go with me, senorita?
Liz.
Yes. Liz, would you?
Oh, we could have lots of excitement and fun, huh, Perico?
Magnifico. Will you let me take you with me?
I think that would be just magnifico.
And exactly what is everybody singing magnifico about?
Don Emilio.
Perico, you know who I am?
Si, senor.
Then do me the courtesy of addressing me correctly.
Oh, yes, me, padre.
What are you doing here? You know this place is forbidden.
How did you know I was here?
It's beside the point. You have not answered my question.
Why do you have to spoil everything? Always.
You forget yourself in front of a guest. Leave us.
It's all right, Liz. You'll be safe. I know you're here.
Perico, what do you... I must apologize for my son. I hope you will forgive him, Senorita Monroe.
But there's nothing to forgive. I found him charming until...
Until I appeared, eh? Es por nada. It was not difficult to know that you were missing and Perico is always on my mind. I had a sudden uneasiness. When I saw the rock was out of place, I thought I might find you here.
Well, I should be the one who apologizes, really. But Perico was so anxious to bring me here that I didn't want to deny him.
I don't know why Perico brought you here or what he has been telling you.
Well, he's been telling me that he has never been to a carnival and that he would like to escort me to the one in Cadiz.
Senorita, I would not want to impose on my guests.
Well, I've already accepted, subject, of course, to your approval.
What can I say? I'm only sorry that I am not the one to be your escort. Ah, the wind is rising. Yes, not a good place to be. You'll forgive me as a bad host, but I cannot stand this place, senorita. El Salto de Diablo, well named.
Oh.
Senorita, what is it?
Oh, that lovely red carnation. You've crushed it in your hand.
Oh? I'm sorry. It was meant for you. We will find you another on the way back.
I lay awake for a long time that night. I wondered about that long ago accident or suicide or... Yes, I wondered too if some guilty secret had laid its pall over this uneasy house. But washing all that out of my mind was a wave of pity for two lonely people. A proud, unbending older man and a shy, hurt boy whose world had been shattered before he'd even had time to build it. Both of them were haunted by a tragedy that should have brought them closer together, but which instead had driven them apart.
A man, who is it in fire? How can it not hurt?
It doesn't seem to.
But the torch is burning the paper. See? Ay-ya, look here. The Donna Colossus. A woman enormously fat.
Come, please, come. It was hard to recognize this excited, well, boy. For that's what he was like. To imagine him as he was now, full of bubbling good spirits, as being the same person as the pale, retiring, tortured Perico of Monte Alegre. And as I followed him from booth to booth at the carnival, I found that I was feeling as young and as full of life and laughter as he.
Now come, we must ride the Ferris wheel.
We entered our little cage at the bottom of the huge wheel, and seconds later we were whirling upwards. And suddenly Perico's hand was grasping mine, his eyes darting about the carnival below, all eager and pleased. And then just as suddenly, as we stopped at the crest, his grip was agonizingly strong. What is it, Perico?
I am afraid.
Why, there's nothing to be afraid of.
It is like El Salto del Diablo, so high above.
Oh, no, forget about that.
You don't understand. It is when I am on heights, I have this. I want to throw myself over or push.
No, you're not going to fall. Not while I'm with you.
Oh, if only you could always be with me, Liz. But then nobody is. I'm sorry.
You're sorry for what?
And yet...
Oh. There you are, you see? Now there's nothing to worry about. Here we go, down again. Everything is all right. But everything was not all right. A shadow had passed across the bright day. And something twisted in this boy sprang back like a spring released to its original form. And that challenged me. I promised myself that before I left Cadiz, I would try to banish that shadow. In the next 2 weeks, I saw a lot of Perico. We swam together from the golden beaches. We laughed and danced at fiestas. We sat entranced at the bullring. I stayed too at Monte Alegre a great deal, playing chess in the evening with Don Emilio, or dining at the great carved oak table while he talked of poetry, or the theater, or the past glories of Spain. But my time with father and son was mostly divided. I could not bring them together. And at the last, at the end of my singing engagement, I had to leave Monte Alegre. Suddenly, without warning, and forever. We had gone, Perico and I, that last day on a picnic far from the hacienda. It was a drowsy, lazy summer's day. And after the picnic lunch, we lay back, dozing in the shade of an orange grove.
Que dia maravilloso. I could die this moment.
Thank you for the compliment.
Oh, I mean, because I am so happy.
I am too. What a pity it has to end.
To end?
Oh, yes, Perico. I can't be on vacation forever. I've got to leave and get back to work.
You cannot leave me. What shall I do?
Well, you go to college, find new friends.
I do not want new friends.
Well, for your father's sake...
Don't mention his name. I hate my father.
Oh, I don't think that's true.
He killed my mother.
No, I don't think that's true either.
You talk to my father. Have you asked him?
No. It's as hard to talk to him sometimes as it is to you.
To me?
Yes, to you. Even though you say we are friends.
Friends? You are not my friend, you are...
I am what?
Oh, tu eres mi vida. I adore you with all my heart. Te amo.
No, not me, Perico. Oh, no. Oh, what a fool I've been. I should have known.
Why?
Because I am so much older. No, when I've been with you, I've been thinking of you as a...
Don't say it. It is my fault. Now I'm so ruined. Oh, I never meant to tell you. It's hopeless.
Perico.
Completely hopeless.
Perico, come here.
Don't touch me.
Of course I'll touch you. Come here now. There. Here in my arms. Listen to me. There's nothing so terrible about love, Perico.
Would you wait for me?
That's up to you. You have so many things to finish first. There's college. And where you want to go with your life. You have a world to conquer.
If I could, I would lay it at your feet.
I think that you could. But first, conquer it. And yourself.
Then it is not hopeless.
Nothing is ever hopeless, Perico. Nothing in this whole wide world. Why did you bring me down here, Don Emilio?
I don't quite know. Except it is a place where we can be completely alone. And this is your last night in Andalusia.
At least it's before twilight. And the view is indescribably lovely.
As you are. I can tell you one reason I brought you here. I have a story to tell you before I ask you to marry me.
To marry you? But I
know. It is strange. I never thought love could come to me again. But it has.
Well, if for no other reason, for Perico's sake, I can't marry you. He's in love with me, too.
Love? A boy? A child?
Oh, no. A young man. Your child has grown up very fast, Don Emilio.
Why must something always stand between me and the one I love? This wretched place, the home of the devil himself. Even the moon rises in blood upon it. Well, then, once again, let it rise and sink on it.
With the same sudden violence as he had earlier crushed a blood-red carnation in his hand, Don Emilio moves across the terrace towards Elizabeth Monroe, and she, in sudden and unanticipated terror, braces her back against the balustrade that is the only protection between her and the sheer drop below. I shall return shortly with Act Three.
War's over. We don't have to think about it anymore. We can pack away those bitter memories. But what about the people who serve their country? Can we pack them away and forget them till they're needed again? And can we tell those that are disabled that they're no longer of any use to us? If you're someone with a job to give, can you ignore the fact that over 1 million veterans will need a job this year? Or the fact that their alternative is welfare? What a waste of your tax dollars and their lives. These are responsible men and women with experience, skills, maturity. Even the disabled can still do a job well. The way to get this country working is to get people working. So if you have a job to give, call the National Alliance of Businessmen. Help America work.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, the worldwide trend today is toward a universal system of measurement, the metric system. The names of this new system may sound strange to you at first, but fortunately, there are only a few words that have to be learned for everyday use, and these are the millimeter, centimeter, meter, and kilometer for describing length and distance, the milliliter and liter for capacity or volume, the gram, kilogram, and ton for weight, the kilometer per hour for highway speed, and the degree Celsius or centigrade for temperature. You're already using some of these terms more than you may realize. For example, when you go to the supermarket, you see weights expressed in grams on more and more packaged items. Now, for more information on this whole metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C.
As Don Emilio moves fixedly toward where she stands at the balustrade of the terrace, 1,000 feet above the jagged rocks below, Liz's terror is only momentary. Because almost simultaneously, she sees that the Don's eyes are not fixed on her, but on the void beyond her. And instinctively, she flings herself back against him, dragging him away from the awesome drop.
No! No, Don Emilio, no, no, no! No, that's not the answer. That's never the answer.
Let me go! Let me go!
And repeat your wife's mistake.
My wife's mistake?
Yes.
What do you know about my wife?
Nothing. Only it's obvious that between you and Perico, who should know best, neither one of you thinks that her death was an accident.
How could you know that?
I don't know that. It's only my guess. Perico thinks you pushed her to her death, and I think that you believe that Perico was the one who caused it.
Would you like to know the truth?
If it will help you and Perico.
It would be a relief to tell it to someone. And perhaps just once to be believed. She was very beautiful, Dolores. Almost as lovely as you. I loved her. How can one measure? I would have gladly died for her. And even though I was older, I thought she loved me. And came a summer like this, 5 years ago when Perico was 12. We had gone that day to a corrida, and the matador was insolent, slim, young, careless. But Dios,
He was magnificent in the ring.
And your wife, Dolores, fell in love with him.
All that summer, he was to fight in Andalusia, Cadiz, Granada, Sevilla. Sometimes she followed him. And when she didn't, they met by night. Here, in this loggia, in the shadow of my own roof.
And all this time, you stood by and said nothing.
She would not hear me. I kept thinking it would end. She would see this empty, strutting pigeon for what he was and come back to me. Till at last, I knew I must end it.
You? You don't mean that Perico is right?
No. I bought this strutting peacock of a matador off, as I should have in the beginning. He walked out without a backward look.
And your wife?
One night, Dolores stole from the house down here to the devil's platform. I thought perhaps I don't know what was in my mind. I stumbled down here blindly, half expecting to find them together again. And on the way, I even have memory of looking back and seeing Perico running in the shadows somewhere. And when I got here, I don't know what I might have done if I had found them. Instead, I found...
Don Emilio, you'd better finish it now that you started.
Cleanse my soul. I found myself alone under a blood-red moon. Till I looked over the parapet. And there, far below, she lay broken and bloodied as the moon and the carnation we found in her hand.
An accident? I mean, the balustrade was broken, wasn't it?
That had happened in the rain a day or so before.
So it was what I finally guessed. A suicide.
I might have learned to live with that. But not...
Not what? Oh, you can't think that Perico could possibly have...
We both loved her so. Anything is possible. The curse of our heritage is too much pride.
Too much pride? You think that Perico might somehow have found out about his mother, and that he...
I cannot allow myself to think such a thing. And to the best of my knowledge, he has never known. And does not, to this day. Well, now, what is there left to be said? I had hoped, watching you and Perico together, and from all the times we have been together, that somehow what has been lost could be found again. I had dared to hope that you would marry me.
To bring you and Perico together?
I am not that totally unselfish or incapable of love. No. First, for yourself. Then the other. But for you to marry Perico...
Marry him?
No. I'm much too old for your son. As much as I love him.
He'll have all his trust and confidence. And his heart.
I know, I blame myself for that.
Senorita, forget the Escobar family. There is nothing you can do for us.
Well, maybe I can. If I can face being cruel enough.
Okay?
First love is full of pain. And it is sometimes better to be cruel in order to be kind. I think perhaps what this situation needs is a new villain. Yes, that's the best thing I can do.
What are you going to do, senorita?
I'm going to help you try to find your son. Yes, who is it?
Perico.
Oh, Perico. All right, come on in.
Buenos dias, Liz. Isn't it a beautiful day? Everybody seems to be smiling.
What are you doing?
Well, as you can see, I am packing.
To leave?
Yes, to leave.
But yesterday, you were not planning to leave. Why now?
Oh, don't you know about women, Perico? They're just like the weather. They're subject to change without notice.
There is a man. A Chad. Someone. You are in love with another man.
Oh, don't be silly, Perico.
Don't treat me like a child.
Well, then don't act like one.
But yesterday you said... I thought you were going to wait. I thought you loved me.
Yesterday was another day. That was sweet and amusing, and it suited my fancy. But today, I am going away. Now, will you please lift that bag off the bed for me?
Yes, of course. But I cannot understand you.
Well, then don't try. And I'm not going to apologize. Yes, I led you on. Only to find that you are not ready for love. Just as I did with your father.
My father?
Oh, yes. You know, he asked me to marry him.
He... what?
Well, why do you act like that, Perico? Your father's lonely, too.
Well, that is his fault. He got what he wanted.
Are you so sure? Have you ever talked about it, you two?
No. And I never will. Besides, he has nothing to do with this. What matters is you and me.
Oh, there never was a you and me, Perico. Or me and your father. I'm sorry. It was a long, hot summer. It amused me to play with both of you. But now that game is over.
I will kill myself.
Oh, I hope not. Why don't you talk to your father about it first? You might learn something.
All right, I will. At least he is a man. A man you can trust. But I say one thing before I leave, Senorita Monroe. Yesterday, I say I love you. With all my heart. I take back those words. Today, with all my heart, and forever, I hate you.
And I don't blame you, Perico. Right at this moment, I'm not very fond of myself. And that's the end of the story, Mark. It was the last time I saw Perico until he walked across the dance floor tonight. And that's why I fled to my dressing room with you, because I was so afraid to face him.
But the story isn't finished. What happened? Did your gamble work?
I don't even know. I haven't heard from either one of them since I left Cadiz. Oh, Lord, look at the time. I've got to get made up and ready. Would you get that for me, Mark?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure, sure, she'll be ready. What? Yeah, send them in.
What is it? Is it my cue?
No, relax, you got a few minutes.
Okay.
Excuse me. Oh, thanks, Arturo. I'll handle them.
What is it?
Like about the biggest bunch of carnations I ever saw. With a note.
A note? Well, I haven't time right now. What does the note say?
I think you better read the note yourself.
Oh, dear, where's my fan? And my gloves, too.
No, you got time. They'll wait for you. Read the note.
Okay, give it to me. Let me see. Oh, dear Liz, the carnations are from my father, who has told me the whole story about how you left Monte Alegre. When I read that you were to sing at La Ronda in Madrid, I had to come to hear you. I wanted to thank you for giving me back my life and my father's. Would it be too much to hope that you might join all of us at our table afterwards? Con todo mi corazón, Perico. All of us.
There's a postscript there.
Oh, yeah. For many reasons. Mainly that I want you to meet My fiancé. Oh, Mark, I'm so glad. It worked for them.
That's your intro, baby. Better get going.
All right. Except...
what?
Oh, Mark, I'm so tired of this. The pressure and always being on. I want to be me just the way I was that summer.
Okay, Liz. We can arrange that, too. If you want to.
Oh, if I want to.
It's always been an open contract between us.
All right, then. I'm closing it right now. And we can announce our engagement when we join the Escobars.
Oh, I don't want to crowd you.
How can you get any closer? I just woke up to what I should have known all along. Yo te adoro, dear Mark. Con todo mi corazón.
The reunion with Perico and Don Emilio and the new young bride-to-be after the show was a warm and wonderful one. And Don Emilio, older and frailer now, was exalted beyond belief by the coming marriage of his son and, in a sense, his daughter. I'll be back shortly.
O Great Spirit, whose voice in the winds I hear, and whose breath give life to all the world, hear me.
The voice is Iron Eyes Cody of the Cherokee Nation. The words are a prayer first spoken 400 years ago by his people, a people who loved the land.
Make me walk in beauty. Make my heart respect all you have made. Make me wise that I may know all you have taught my people, the lessons you have hidden in every rock.
In some Americans today, that spirit is reborn. Throughout the land, areas of thoughtless litter and pollution are being restored to their natural beauty. And yet we still have so far to go. So everyone must get involved. To contact the Keep America Beautiful team nearest you, write Keep America Beautiful, 99 Park Avenue, New York, New York. People start pollution. People can stop it.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council. There are some cynics who might phrase marriage as El Salto de Diablo, the devil's leap. I cannot answer for Perico and his bride because I lost track of them. But as for Liz and Mark, the leap was upwards, never down. Our cast included Mercedes McCambridge, Robert Dryden, Ian Martin, and Christopher Tabori. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Makes me kind of sad, little brother. I wish you could meet a girl you could settle down with.
I'm off dames for the moment. This girl, I... Hey! What kind of crazy? It's the Mercedes! And Laura at the wheel! Look out!
What is the matter with you? You're out of your mind?
I had to go off the road. Matt, that crazy broad would have rammed into us head on.
What are you talking about?
The green Mercedes that came around the bend. Didn't you see it?
Or her? Round what bend?
Coming the other way, headed towards us.
George, we haven't passed any cars coming or going in the last few minutes.
We just about rammed one going the opposite way less than a minute ago.
A green Mercedes?
Yeah, a 56, a classic. Didn't you see it?
No, I didn't, because it wasn't there.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Bright and beautiful music comes your way from midnight to 6, world and national news on the hour with CBS. From KOIN in Portland, my name is Bill Garrity. Have a good night tonight and a better day tomorrow. It's 12 midnight.
CBS News. The Suez Canal is scheduled to reopen at this hour. It's been closed for 8 years. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The Suez Canal was shut down during the 1967 Arab-Israeli War. After a long and expensive project to clear it of war debris and stranded vessels, Egypt is opening it to traffic again. Europeans would have dominated such an event in years past. This time, it's a nearly all-Arab affair. Peter Ward reports from Suez City.
When the canal was first opened back in 1869, it was considered one of the great events of that century, and most of the royal houses of Europe were represented here in this city at the northern entrance of the canal. In the century that followed, many of those houses went for the boards. So the only royalty present for this year's opening will be from the Middle East, and not a crowned head among them. From Port Said's point of view, the most important figure will be a potential crowned head, 15-year-old Reza Pahlavi, the crown prince of Iran. It's reported that at the opening ceremonies, he'll present Egyptian President Anwar Sadat with a check for $250 million, all of which is earmarked for reconstruction projects in this war-damaged city. Peter Ward for CBS News, Port Said.
There's been some trouble in another part of the Middle East. That report and other news in a moment.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's Hemorrhoid Ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect, with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Hemorrhoid. Hemorrhoid from Vaseline Brands. Use only as directed.
The Belmont Stakes, the toughest of the Triple Crown events, takes place this Saturday. I'm Win Elliott, CBS Radio Sports, and I'll be there to bring you all the colorful background from Belmont Park. We'll talk to the jockeys, owners, trainers, and all the folks who make this race the classic that it is. Of course, Ray Haidt will be there along with me to bring you all the excitement of the running itself. At home or in your car, wherever you are, listen to the Belmont Stakes this Saturday exclusively over radio on this CBS Radio Network.
Rockets have been fired into Israel from Lebanon, and there was a terrorist explosion in Jerusalem. A late report from Bruno Wassertile.
Just before the sunrise ushered in the eighth anniversary of the outbreak of the 1967 Middle East War, a military spokesman here announced that Katyusha rockets fired from Lebanese territory fell on the northern Israeli city of Kiryat Shmona. One person was reported injured in the bombardment, and several fires were started by the explosions, but quickly brought under control. Kiryat Shmona, the site of a 1974 terrorist massacre, lies just about a mile from the Lebanese frontier. It was the first time since last November that the city had come under rocket attack. After sunrise in Jerusalem, a hand grenade was thrown at an Israeli police car in the Arab-populated eastern sector of the city. At least two persons are said to have been hurt by the bursting grenade. Police have cordoned off the area, and several arrests have been made. Bruno Wassertile for CBS News in Tel Aviv.
The polls are open in Britain now for a decision by the people on whether England stays in the European Common Market. Prime Minister Harold Wilson strongly urges a yes vote in the nationwide referendum. Britain got into the Common Market 2.5 years ago. Some politicians blame that fact for many of the nation's serious economic problems today. A report from Washington says communist North Korea has moved strong armored forces close to the demilitarized zone with South Korea. The Associated Press says Pentagon officials are concerned but not alarmed. It's noted the North Koreans have made shows of force from time to time, but the new movements are said to be the largest in a long time. Writing his column for Thursday newspapers, Jack Anderson says that for years, military counterintelligence agents opened and read the mail of servicemen who were under suspicion. Anderson says the practice was used largely to snoop on men in uniform who complained about the Vietnam War. Now this message.
Hello, everybody. This is Cousin Bruce Morrow for the Foundation Church. Now, these are troubled times. Not a lot of money around. Work's kind of tough to get. Apathy's here. We're disillusioned. Wondering what's going to go down next. Well, it's easy to go along with it, right? I mean, just sit around and say, who cares? You don't let the next guy worry about it. But does it have to be like this? Pride, dignity, truth, being straight with one another. Now, these qualities have not disappeared. They've just gone to sleep for a while, right? But now's the time to wake them up. Only we can do it. This message brought to you by the Foundation Church, 111 East 38th Street, New York, New York, zip 10016.
To some of us, it may be difficult to realize so much time has passed, but today, Caroline Kennedy, the daughter of the late president, graduates from high school. Caroline is now 17 and gets her diploma from Concord Academy in Massachusetts. Had her father lived to attend today's ceremonies, John F. Kennedy would be 58 years old. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
Portland police this hour are investigating into the murder of a 5-year-old girl identified as Kimberly Van Wart. Authorities say she was struck by a bullet and dead on arrival at a Portland hospital. But the Homicide Division told KOIN nothing more than the incident took place in southeast Portland, where the girl resides. One unidentified source said the girl was shot by a sniper holed up in a railroad trestle and that some 15 shots were fired, but police cannot confirm that information at this hour. A Hillsborough psychiatrist says he predicted several months before Richard Lawrence Marquette was placed on parole that a complex emotional situation could trigger homicidal tendencies in the man. Dr. W. Morris Bowerman says he made that evaluation in 1972, while Marquette was still in prison for a Portland murder. Marquette pleaded guilty last week to the April mutilation slaying of a Sio woman, and this week led police to two shallow graves containing the remains of a third woman who has not been identified yet. Well, it looks like that the Oregon legislature is going to try again to gain the authority to call itself into special session. The Senate has approved a constitutional amendment that would give that body that authority. The measure has gone back to the House for consideration of Senate amendments. Similar proposals have been submitted to the voters in recent years, but failed to win approval. It's now official the Washington State Legislature has been in session longer than any other session in the record books, including the very first session, which lasted 143 days. More from Jeff Adams in Olympia.
After the breaking of the record for the longest session in the history of the state, it appears the legislature is no closer to adjournment by the end of the week than it was last week. As a matter of fact, some legislators have speculated the session could run another 2 weeks in view of action early Wednesday by the Senate Democrats. Majority Leader August Martasich dug in, refusing to budge from the school funding position in the Senate version of the budget. Martasich said the Senate plan over 2 years won't be necessary, but only if
people pass tax increase. The problem is there. They'll either vote special levies to pick up that differential, or there'll have to be tax increase to pick it up. There's no alternative.
If voters say no, Martasich says the Senate plan gives schools time to adjust.
If we say go back now, you've had a slight cut, and believe me, it's not that drastic. Adjust yourself and start looking the next year, because the future is very dark.
Right now, many House members appear upset at that Senate maneuver.
That's Jeff Adams reporting from Olympia. The Calpin family of Creswell arrived in England safely this week, ending their 1,200-mile trip across the Atlantic in a 32-foot surplus lifeboat. The Calpins were met in Liverpool, England, Monday by a cheering crowd of newsmen, friends, and horn-tooting tugboats who escorted them up the historic Mercy River. Weather for the Portland metropolitan area: cloudy this morning with a chance of drizzle. Clearing this afternoon, partly cloudy tonight. Increasing chance of rain Friday. Highs today in the upper 70s, cooling to the low 70s Friday. Lows in the mid-50s. Northwest winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. And the chance of measurable precipitation 10% today and tonight. Increasing to 30% Friday. Currently at the airport, it's cloudy. The temperature is 62. Relative humidity is 72%. Wind from the northwest at 8 miles per hour, and the barometer reads 30 and rising. In downtown Portland, it's 61. And that's KOIN News at 9 and a half past 12. This is Alan Archer.